Hey, gang, if you are not subscribed to our Patreon yet, you may not know that this month's episode is indeed about Steven Spielberg's Ready Player One. Now, that's right. We couldn't even wait until the worst of 2018. We just said fuck it and put it out on the Patreon.
That's the way we do it on the Patreon, man. No 10-year rule applies at all. You can catch, if you join it now, you can get Jason Takes Manhattan. You get Man of Steel, right, Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance. You get Bright, you get
Breaking
Jungle
the
to Jungle.
10-year rule again with Bright right there.
America's Sweethearts.
All of them are there. And, you know, at the $8 level, you get the Nexus, which will get you more Patrick Stewart impressions, which you might want after this episode, or you might not.
Who knows?
And the Animation Damnation, ton of great stuff there.
There you go. Patreon.com/WeHateMovies. Now on today's episode, a movie so fucking stupid, it wasn't even qualifying for a standard def DVD. It's Masterminds. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the program. Thank you for tuning in to We Hate Movies, as always.
You're welcome this week.
It's Masterminds from 1997, directed by Battlefield Earth's Roger Christian.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. Woof and a half.
This is a better movie.
It is. It would almost have to be, but yeah, it is.
Can I admit something? I've not seen Battlefield Earth.
Really?
To date.
I've never seen it in its entirety either,
I've still averted it.
You guys should. A cow gets its leg shot off.
Another movie by this guy called True. The Sender.
The Sender? What is that about an email guy?
No. Someone putting a fucking envelope in a mailbox.
The guy have like telepathy or
something? Yeah, it's Zyko Ivanicek. What's that guy's name?
Psycho Ivanicek? No, it's Theodore Kaczynski.
Zelko Ivanov or whatever.
Yeah, that's that dude.
We all know who we're talking about.
He's sending anthrax in the mail?
No, he's at an insane asylum. It's like the 80s, so you can still call it an insane asylum.
What do you got to call it now, Steve? The booby hatch?
Yes, call it the booby hatch. And he's got psychic powers. It's like a pseudo Scanners Cronenberg less than, but there is some explosions. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Head explosions or like butt explosions?
just regular explosions.
She's lighting his farts on fire.
It wasn't filmed in my bathroom this morning.
Oh my God. What happened in there this morning?
The scanners.
Let's go.
Reverse scanners, I guess.
We should do a remote episode from your bathroom to figure out what's going on
down
there.
I really prefer if you didn't.
Imagine you took a dump and it looked exactly like... Oh God!
Okay, yeah. You
Jelko
start
Ivan.
Michael Ironside.
Michael Ironside is who I was looking for.
Was that a classic? I started a sentence but had no ending.
Yeah, no, yeah. I knew I wanted Ironside, but just totally drew a blank.
Oh. I got you. By the way, fucking 4x3 on an Amazon rental. Thanks for nothing.
With the thing that comes up on my 16x9 television that said it was formatted to fit this TV. I love that old goddamn descriptor that's so obsolete now.
I love that Amazon, which controls the world, couldn't get a fucking better rip of this, man. Come on.
It's not on DVD. What do you want?
I want Bezos to pay his employees a livable wage, and find a way to get me Masterminds.
More like Bozos.
First things first, living wages. Second thing, Masterminds 16x9.
Exactly. Which would be a sex thing.
Yeah, sex me that Masterminds rip, bro.
This stupid movie starts with a stupid killer hack. Mm-hmm. A lot of hacking in this.
This is amazing. This is so beautiful. This is the lost art of 90s cyber
thrillers.
Dude,
this is like we're hacking something, and the way you hack it is by kind of playing Wolfenstein.
Stabbing Westward, the whole song, my heart almost came out my chest.
Amazing, right? Amazing. Unrelated to this, a few weeks ago, I was like, hey, I remember Stabbing Westward. They had some good tunes. Let me go on Spotify and download their best of to my phone. I'm like, this is terrible.
I've done that a few times. Really quickly, because you haven't seen this movie. This movie is
good call.
It's Patrick Stewart. takes Hello. Over takes over a prep school. Who just and Vincent Kartheiser Hi. Is a fun punk kid who just so happens to be there, and he gets himself, as he says, in a Die Hard situation. Right. So that's the movie.
It's Home Alone meets Die Hard, and you guys. Andrew and Steve have never seen this before.
I had never seen it.
I've seen this multiple times in the 90s.
I was so much better off before last night.
I saw it before. I remember nothing of it.
Oh, man. Yeah, and I was pushing hard for this one. I was like, yeah, this is our back-to-school episode. We're doing it. We're doing it.
Did you remember Patrick Stewart's fucking fake-as-balls mustache in this movie, Kevin?
I did remember that. It was really
Jesus
stupid.
Christ.
And he was named after a car. I remembered that.
It's real at some points, I feel, and then like...
He looks like he's in a bad school play. He
does. I am playing an adult with an adult mustache. Yeah.
You know,
Hello.
You know, playing Iago, it's really in the... You don't have to do the villainous mustache. I can do it.
But I will anyway.
My name is Rafe Bentley. Yes, Rafe.
Love it. Rafe. Bentley, too. Rafe Bentley.
Yeah, which could be a fake name because he's a terrorist.
Yeah, but no, so. People who know him from his other job, his old job, are like, oh, hey, Bentley, how's it going, man? Because this is like also You're somehow right. like a world, a scorned worker drama as
yes.
well.
Yes, it's a fired employee revenge thriller.
Resonates today.
It does. yeah, so Vinny Kartheiser is a sick hacker.
Fear is our business.
What is he hacking?
He's hacking.
Nobody knows. What is it? Please.
He's downloading a game before it's even released.
Oh.
And the game
is called...
I've got it, by the way. Scream 2.
Dude, I had so much trouble trying to fucking figure this out. So his dad basically yells at him at the beginning of this movie because he downloaded like a leaked copy of the game. Well, he made it leak, like he hacked it and stole
it.
Yes,
he used
really?
All VPN
of that?
And everything.
All of that for a video game. It looked like he was taking down the Pentagon. Like the fucking, like the
I thought
relays
it was...
to Hong Kong and fucking Lithuania.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Plus, like, and yes, like to do the hacking, it's not like, oh, I have to break this code. It is, but I also have to like play this really bad Doom game.
Yeah.
Where like all
the
these skeletons.
Abyss, babe. It's like Ultima One.
Are all jumping out. But the weird thing is, I don't know. Did anyone? We were all of this age. Did anyone do any game pirating or knew of game pirating back in the day?
Absolutely. I knew of it.
Yeah, I had a couple like the buddies would give me, but they didn't always work. That was the thing. It was always like, here's a PlayStation game. Here's Siphon Filter 1 or 2.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, sick,
so,
dude.
Wait, was it like put it in the PlayStation and it will work? Or is it an emulator?
No, it was like you'd get a readable CD that somebody burned the game onto and it might may or may not work.
I remember
it was always like
50-50. Games on floppy disks and I'd install them like 5-7 disks in a row.
And then like sort of later, but on the same kind of path, was like I was able to buy... I had one of the first ever Nintendo DSs.
Gotcha.
And you could buy a cartridge for it that had like a some sort of like SD card reader. It was like a DS cartridge that had an SD card reader in it, and you could upload a bunch of pirated DS games to this little card.
Oh, weird.
Put the card in the cartridge, put the cartridge in the DS, and you could just play. You had a whole library of games on this fucking thing.
Wow. That's fascinating.
But
what happened wasn't like some like corporations don't put an Easter egg in their back end.
Yes.
Like, that doesn't exist.
Well, somebody needed to animate this thing for someone to hack.
Well, this
somebody
is all derivative of Hackers 94. I think. But, I mean, there's others, too. Probably Lawnmower Man does this crap, too.
I feel like this kid's got an air of Eddie Furlong, John Connor. A little bit.
Yeah, I think that's exactly why he was cast.
Give it to me. Easy money. Yeah, he's got a fucking line for everything. I hate this kid. I hate this rotten ass little shit.
I hated Pete Campbell too. So
well, that's
perfect.
The thing. I'd rather hang out with Pete Campbell than this
little
turd. Mm. Oh, of course.
This kid can shred the fucking skateboard.
He can shred.
That's what
the
that
skate-
is, right?
Get out of here, old man.
Oh, he's not playing a guitar. Skateboard. Yeah, skateboard.
No, I do think that Mad Men was smart because they realized it. They hired. I never watched Angel, which is the bridging between this and Mad Men.
Yes.
Where he plays whatever, like his.
He plays Angel's son.
This is Pete Campbell young, and then Angel is also. Grand. And then he goes to the back in time.
Yes.
It's all the same continuity?
No, I'm just saying his career.
As an actor.
They realized, like, I think here they were like, oh, he's a cool, good-looking young kid. He's going to be the cool, good-looking young kid. And it never really fit because he was so weaselly. And then Mad Men was like, no, this dude's a weasel. Because
he's weaselly on Angel, too. Yeah, Connor. He plays Angel's son, Connor, and he's like a little dickhead.
Like, he's supposed to be really cool and badass, but he just comes off as weaselly here.
In this, he just looks like an anime character.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you
yeah.
know? I mean, look at this wardrobe, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, he's unwatchable.
Holy fucking shit!
I don't even know the angles this shirt he's wearing at the like for the. It's like octagonal collar. I've never seen it.
Find me the planet deep in outer space where he found these sunglasses.
Oh my god, these steampunk sunglasses!
Oh my god, those are egregious. You're right.
I do have to say when he is hacking the net and it's like there's a bunch
he fights a skeleton.
There's a bunch of warnings like what you're doing is illegal. The cops
federal prosecution.
Yeah. One of them says federal offense and offense is misspelled. That's wonderful.
Yes, I did catch that. Wasn't half bad.
Oh, video game developers.
Yeah, that's true.
Kind of like an animated DeShare Zone meme.
It is. He's like hacking DeShare Zone in the beginning.
What? Oh, it's a Twitter account that's really funny that uses a lot of Skellington imagery. He probably got part of the idea from this or something.
It's pretty dead on.
Once Trump arrests DeShare Zone, then we'll know.
Yeah. Oh my god!
I'm putting DeShare Zone on trial.
Oh my god! I would have helped the crowdsourcing of the admin's legal fees on that.
Imagine
one.
It's probably Vincent Kartheiser.
Oh my god! Wow,
because he's not getting all those roles anymore.
I would have so much more respect for him if it was.
Here's a question I had, and I don't know what this family dynamic is like, but I'm pretty sure. Kartheiser's character in this movie,
Ozzy Man, also known as Action Man by
Action Man. I think that's I think we're talking online handle here.
Okay,
is that only his best friend K Dog?
Yeah. Oh, K Dog. Oh, we'll get K-Dog. To K Dog.
But Action Man, I don't know what this deal is he has with his parents. I'm pretty sure he has the master bedroom in this house.
Yeah,
the masturbator's bedroom.
There's
that's
like
the
a little
action.
Kid, like the little sister comes in.
Yeah,
and this is a huge fucking
well,
bedroom.
This is a hacker thing. In throughout all the cinema, right? Because Brain Scan, he also had a similar situation.
Oh, he did have a big room in that house.
Humongous room.
It's also like do not enter, do not disturb by penalty of
authorized
death.
Personnel just, only. Fuck you, Billy. Clean up your room, shithead.
It's all this West Coast shit where everyone's house is a McMansion. You know,
yeah,
like
that's a really
we don't
good
have
point.
Space here in New York. We still live in tenements.
He's got like a bank security system in there. Like he's got the red line. Like,
oh yeah,
that would cost money. That's not just something. Hey. Mom and Dad, I need an extra lock.
Well, he's hacking and selling shit on the internet.
I built it.
Is he selling stuff too?
Yeah,
yes.
He's trying to make money off this game, man.
Oh, he's stealing the game and then he's going to sell it to his buddies like K-Dog and the like?
Yes.
That's insane.
No, kid's a scumbag.
K-Dog's his manager.
Yeah, he's doing
really?
K-Dog does the legwork, I think, is the idea.
He gets the buyers.
He lines up the buyers.
Because K-Dog is vaguely likable.
Yeah, that's also true.
He's the face man.
So yes, the little sister comes and we find out it's like kind of a Brady Bunch situation where it's one family merged with another. The mother
merged
is,
with another. I guess that is one way to put that.
Yeah. Well, no. It's an adult
with children married another adult that has their own children.
Right. And they're okay.
And then they merged into a some sort of amorphous blob figure.
We're gonna have to downsize this family now that we've merged. The dog. I'm sorry. You're getting a severance package of a bone.
You're redundant now, yes, dogs.
Exactly. Don't need two dogs.
So the little girl is the mother's daughter, who's Annabelle Gurwitch, who's been in some stuff.
She pops up a lot.
Odenkirk's directorial movie, Melvin Goes to Dinner.
Dinner.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
She's like a Ben Stiller person, I feel like. She was the cable guy. Anyway, she's the mom, and Matt Craven is the dad. Matt Craven's in everything.
You know what? It was only today that I found out he's not Wes Craven's son.
Oh yeah,
I was certain because he looks like him.
Well, no, you know he looks like Robert Englund, and you think Wes Craven looks like Robert Englund, and it all like kind of goes in.
Replaying what I went through at 3 p.m. today.
I know exactly how your brain works, but no. So The little girl comes in. She starts yelling at Ozzy for some reason. He starts telling her to get out. The mother comes in. Then the father comes in. We find out that he is pirating this game, and Ozzy is in real fucking trouble.
Hot soup, as they say.
Military school's on the table.
Oh man, that's a real Bill and Ted move right there.
You're going to military school.
You idiot. He would fucking have that thing running as a gambling center like that.
I don't know, man. Center. Military
not
school.
Not a casino, a gambling
I
center.
I feel like he'd have a knee in his neck by like fucking 2 p.m.
They would be beating the shit out of that kid. He'd get the fucking private pile sock full of soap.
Have you seen this guy? He's clearly been beaten up constantly throughout his life.
Who,
look
Action
at him.
Man?
Yeah, Action Man. Look how he acts.
Military school, by the way, is something you always hear about. Never seen one, though.
No.
Never, like, I feel like they don't, it's like a parental threat that they can never follow through on.
Except
not
in Child's Play 3.
Yeah, but they're not going to, like, your average parent's not going to spend the money on whatever the tuition would be on that fucking private school crap.
Taps or Toy Soldiers.
Taps. Yeah, Taps is good.
Right, you see it in popular film.
Like, do you know anyone who went to a military school?
Do you know anyone that got sent away to military
school? Not sent away. He started there.
What? What, like as a kindergartner?
No. No, for high school, Eric. High
and then school. He went into the reserves? Then.
That's a great idea. Military kindergarten. Get them early.
1 weekend a month, 5 naps a week.
This is great. Like, we could just like reboot Kindergarten Cop as like kindergarten... Sergeant?
Wasn't that what Sacha Baron Cohen was pitching with those kinder guardians fucking thing?
Oh, yeah, the guns.
The guns in the classroom?
So Matt Craven is like, listen, motherfucker, you better shape up. You better stop stealing games. And by the way, you have to take your sister to school today.
And it's, which just should be fine. But also, it happens to be the school he was expelled from.
Banned for life,
so that he can't do it. Like, that's the rule. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Dad, I'd love to help you out here, but I was banned for life. I didn't make that rule. I don't want to break any more rules and get into more trouble.
Right. How did he get banned for life? Was it mentioned? Did I miss it?
No, I think it's just
probably
unexplained.
Pornography trade.
Yeah, pornography trade.
Well, it can't be exact.
You know what he did? He started a pornography center at that school.
It can't be, you can't do everything hackers did. So you can't explain how he got into this situation did.
Yeah,
well,
he's
got to be like, Johnny Lee Miller.
Johnny Lee Miller, though, he got the righteous hack, dude, and then he was fucking banned from the internet.
Zero cool.
Thought he did real time. No, he didn't do real time. He shouldn't.
No.
Should've.
He did like kid real time.
Then
banned
it became
from the internet.
Crash Override. These are better hacker names than Action Man.
And K-Dog.
Fucking K-Dog. I can't even believe it. We can introduce K-Dog here because he does call K-Dog while he's doing the righteous hack.
Mm-hmm.
K-Dog is sleeping. K-Dog is played by this kid named Jonathan Abrams.
He's the dude who played Bobby the boyfriend in a scary movie.
Oh,
he's the brother
in those Meet the Parents movies.
Yes.
He's everywhere. I've seen him. He's everywhere.
Yeah. Cabin has seen K-Dog.
I have seen him.
This movie's also wretchedly Canadian. Like, it's
dripping. Big time.
Mm-hmm.
Is it officially set in Canada?
No, it's not.
Oh, I see.
I can tell you, though, because once I see Callum Keith Rennie, I know we're in Canada.
The fuck was Callum Keith Rennie in this movie?
He's the really bad British drill guy.
Oh, Jesus. Are you kidding me? That was Callum Keith?
Yeah, it was. We were looking for a slimmer cut back then, so like that's what Callum Keith was doing.
That's called the coke weight for good old CKR.
And that accent is atrocious. So yeah, K-Dog is his buddy. So we cut to going to school. We find out he's skateboarding with his sister and he's got her on a leash basically. And this is when Youth of America, which is from the Scream movie, comes on.
Yes, they play this tune when everybody's going to the party at Stu's house, like in the end of the second act of that movie.
First of two times used in this movie for I don't know or
in,
reason.
In its entirety, both times.
Oh, you got it.
Yeah. Well, a song we're eating up the clock.
You can't press stop on a song like that.
It's a great tune.
One great moment of him going to this school is there's a security guard that he obviously has a prior relationship with.
I want that short film.
Yeah, it's this,
the security guard is how we learned that he was banned for life from this campus. Fucking persona non grata, dude.
But also, like, the idea is, like, I have to take my sister to school. Okay, you're at school. There's the door. But it's like,
Actually, she said to class.
Well, that's so the sister's being a piece of shit.
But also, that's annoying for you, the girl. Like, don't you want to, like, shed this dead weight and get on campus? Yeah,
but here's
out?
My older stepbrother with his disgusting haircut and his dumb fucking steampunk sunglasses.
You just don't know how to watch movies. She obviously wants to be exactly like him.
Oh, Steve. Of course.
Don't you see the stupid skateboard scene where he goes down the steps and then she goes down the steps?
Oh, yes, true. And they do have the same haircut as well.
And just like, oh, God.
So, yeah, she's they take her there, and at this point, we do see Patrick Stewart. It's him and Brenda Frick.
Yes, Pigeon Lady from Home Alone 2, among other things.
And also from, I'm sure that's the problem with, like, my experience with British actors. I'm like, oh, man, it's Captain Picard and the Pigeon Lady. And, like, they both have, like, fucking 12 BAFTAs apiece, have played every Shakespearean character in the world. Like, oh, my gosh, that's Professor X and the lady who ran the halfway house in Angels in the Outfield. Oh, wow, cool. Oh, super awesome.
You were going, I go straight for Axe Murderer every time with her.
Oh, yes, right.
The mother
yes.
from Axe Murderer.
That's right. Yeah, I just Brenda Fricker. That, she's Irish.
Still good.
It holds up.
She is an Irish actress, Brenda Fricker, a.k.a. Pigeon Lady. She's won an Academy Award. Oh, right, for My Left Foot.
No BAFTA? Exactly. Is there an IFTA?
Let's see. She won an Oscar for My Left Foot.
So she got an Oscar, so here we are. Like, oh, the Pigeon Lady from Home Alone 2.
Yeah, what trying to do this BAFTA turds. Search. Nah. Nothing on the BAFTAs, Eric. Sorry.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, so she's the principal, and Patrick Stewart is passing himself off as the head of security.
Right. And by the way, you mentioned Professor X a moment ago, and I read on the IMDb Tribune trivia that this, I guess the exteriors for this school were later used as the school for gifted youngsters in X-Men. So there you go.
His whole academy.
He's been in command of this school twice.
Well, I was just watching an interview with Stewart about when Green Room. It was during Green Room, and it was like a gotcha moment where this interviewer. It's him, Anton Yelchin, R.I.P. And who are the director, whose name I forget.
Jeremy Solander,
yeah. R.I.P.
And he's
no, he's alive.
He's a movie
Let's
coming
not
out.
Start that shit.
He's
where this episode's coming out in a week or two. So.
you do never know. It's this guy from a website, and he's just like, oh, you know, so this is a movie about Patrick Stewart harassing a bunch of cool young kids. Why did you go ahead and remake Mastermind?
That's what he says.
And like, Patrick Stewart is doing a polite laugh. The other two guys, Yelchin and the other guy, Solner don't get it. And like, they're like, what is that? And he's like, Masterminds. And Patrick Stewart's like, it is a movie that I produced and co-created that we were trying to make money like a Home Alone. We thought we'd be as rich as Croesus, but sadly we did not make the money. I went to see it in the Valley. It came out on a Friday. I saw it in the Valley on a Sunday and no one was there. and it's so Green Room. You're playing a Nazi.
By the way, I bet you think you really fucking smart asking me about that. Listen, you little shit stain. You want to see my Masterminds tattoo I have on my back? You can fucking burn in hell, blogger. Burn right in hell.
I do love the idea of him just stalking this man for the rest of his life.
Yeah, and just following him down the street.
Ruining his life in any way he can.
I could see your belly. I could see your belly, blogger.
Yeah. Oh, going into In-N-Out Burger. I see. Well, I guess we'll see you in your belly when you get down.
Funny, the weight goes in, it doesn't come out.
Yes, Mr. Richards. I know Jeremy very well. Would you fire him for me?
Listen, entertainment people. Entertainment reporters.
Sure.
Because this is the same thing that motherfucker that tried to get iced tea.
Yes.
Right?
We're bringing up. Get iced tea?
Bringing up Tank Girl. Remember we talked about it in the episode?
Oh, okay. I think you meant like with a net or something.
No, you can't catch iced tea, man. The second you think
fast
you caught
as you'll
iced
be,
tea,
you'll never catch me. Bye bye.
Meep, meep, motherfucker. No, it's that same. Like, don't bring up a random horrible thing and think that, like, they're going to think it's so fucking great that you looked at their IMDb page and found a bad movie.
It's this weird thing where they have pride about watching a movie that everybody hated. I mean, I'll never understand it.
And I mean, he could have been
I don't have any pride.
Why would you?
That's true.
Why would you bring that movie up? And he'd be, and he, like, the defense then is like, no, I think it's great. I think it's so great. No, yeah. You don't.
You don't.
You're bringing it up because you know it's fucking garbage and you think it's going to be funny and you're just an asshole.
But these movies exist. I think that this is something that happens with us sometimes where, like, people will, like, CC, like, oh man, you did this movie. We Hate Movies did whatever, CC the actor in the movie. Don't CC the actor in the movie. We're having fun.
First of all, he doesn't care.
He doesn't care about us, but we're in a little clubhouse here, you know?
That's true.
And we're all having fun, but I just feel like there's a weird thing where, like, trying to rub this in actual people who did the thing's faces is a different enterprise.
Because you're right there in front of them.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
I like to talk big on the internet.
Here was the thing, though. Is Patrick Stewart supposed to be the head of security, or is he passing himself off as a guy who owns a security firm and they're beefing up the security system?
Second one, yes. Or yes. Yeah,
yeah, he's a guy who runs a security firm who's now installing everything at the school.
Right.
What's the name of it? It's Happy Something, Happy Son.
Happy Joe's?
Send $1 to Happy Dude.
Happy Joe's. It's something like that, yeah.
Really? Shit, I
missed
like
a big yellow van. It looks stupid as hell.
Yeah. I think that's when they start to infiltrate. That's like a balloon van or something like that.
Oh, a cleaning service or something.
That's
Oh, yeah. So the infiltration happens like almost immediately.
It's great.
Which
gets
isn't half
right
bad.
Right to it.
Stewart and Kartheiser meet right here really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Because the principal starts yelling at him, and she's like, what are you doing here? He's like, I was only coming in to drop my sister off. Mrs. Malloy. Bye.
And then
Maloney, by the
Maloney.
Way.
And then Patrick Stewart comes in and is like schmoozing the principal.
Oh, yeah, dude.
You know?
Oh, I'm ready to get down and dirty in this private school.
Oh, don't call me Mr. Bentley. You could call me Rafe.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yikes.
Rafe.
Pigeon Lady's going for it, too.
I see you've got an accent as well. What part of the kingdom are you from, my lass?
You know what? If he came at me, dude, I'd go for him.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
I'd be like, sir, could you please remove this fake mustache before we proceed?
Remove your belly before we proceed? Oh, were you in Mastermind?
I'd tell him to keep that thing on, by the way.
Oh, definitely. Mustache, right?
Yes, Andrew, take that all off.
Funny, I'm going to fuck your skeleton, mister.
Funny guy coming in a fat suit here. Come on. Take it off. Jokes. It's like him going on a blind date or like a Tinder date or something.
So these dudes infiltrate, and the security guard that we met at the beginning gets hit with a fucking knockout dart. By the way, knockout darts, come on.
What's going on with the pornography here? Because
he hacks the system to like mess with this dude.
Like the guy made fun of him. So like Kartheiser is about to leave, but he's like, wait, I'm going to get that security guard. And that's kind of like what is, and he like hacks his computer to put pornography on it or something.
But it's just like run pornography protocol? Like, what are you doing?
It's not even run porn. It's run the ad for phone sex you watched during the weird science TV show.
Yeah. Listen, man, sometimes you had to take what you could get, Kevin.
He's just basically, he's doing this dude a favor.
Because the guy's the funny thing is, they're like, oh, fuck. He's like, oh, hey. Like, he's like into it immediately.
Well, it's great because right here is when Maloney's like, oh, you know, Mr. Bentley, what are you doing? Because he starts like hacking back, and it's a kind of a great Patrick Stewart delivery right here because he's just like, I'm taking over your school. La, 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 la. Da, 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 da. Hack, hack, hack.
When the porn first comes out, he does have like a guttural, and I was kind of like, oh boy, this is going to go somewhere dark.
That was the sound of him ejaculating.
Eric's right,
instantly,
though.
Instantly, right? Yeah, I'm right. He just instantly.
About the ejaculate? He's right about ejaculation.
No. Instant ejac.
Eric is right about the fact that he's helping Patrick Stewart in this instance because he's essentially shutting down all the security cameras.
Yeah.
So all these dudes are driving in their vans, shooting that fucking security guard.
Also, because everyone loves pornography, so there you go. Well, that's double help.
Good luck getting control of your school back when a bunch of randy high school kids see pornography.
That's the thing, is that we're not shooting and murdering people, which we should be. We're using trank darts, which is why I'm going to continuously point you to a superior film, which is called Toy Soldiers from the early 90s with Sean Astin and Lou Gossett Jr.
Yes. Kids getting killed IRL?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry about it.
IRL.
It's a
documentary.
But also a Star Trek Next Generation connection with Will Wheaton is in that movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is he one of the murdered kids?
I'm not going to say.
Ooh. Amazon, you better have that shit on 16:9.
But so the security guard gets a dart in the neck. Callum, Keith Rennie, all these people show up. There is a non-determinate amount of dudes that take over the school. It's somewhere between 10 and 50.
I couldn't get a read on this team.
Some disappear, some respawn in different areas of the map.
Was this movie Scream 2 the whole time?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
That would have been a great twist, right?
Dude, it all just takes place inside the computer.
It's like brain scan.
Yes, and then Patrick Stewart, is actually like, I'm the guy who designed Scream to the game.
Yes. He's like the trickster.
Oh, fuck. All of this would be better than Mastermind.
There's two teams. There's one team is Patrick Stewart and all the idiots with the computers are upstairs.
Yes.
And then downstairs, CKR and his whole fucking band of idiots.
CKR.
What?
I like it.
Down on the Canadian corner.
Yes.
That's exactly.
They're like doing the depository in Die Hard 3 kind of thing.
Yeah,
they're
that's exactly what I was feeling right here. This movie came out after that as well.
Well, it's also Die Hard 1 too, right? The hacking, and they were trying to drill through something and get there.
Totally. And someone visiting a location they don't want to be in, only to be stuck there.
The drilling throughout the film is like, what are they doing? Yeah. Oh my God, what is it going to be? You don't find out till the end. I thought there was going to be like another vault of
money. Yeah, it's because I was thinking about Die Hard 3, and I was like, oh, well, is this private school located near a bank, or do they have like your Fort Knox under there? Like,
somebody,
what is the deal?
Had fun.
They wind up, they're starting to take over the school. Annabelle Gurwitch is on the phone with somebody. She thinks
she's talking to K-Dog right here?
No.
Not yet. She does have a phone conversation with K-Dog at some point.
She has many phone conversations.
And she's calling him K-Dog. Dude, can you imagine someone's like...
Yes, you got to respect your dealer.
My son's important shitty friend, Kelvin, is demanding I call him K-Dog.
My fence K-Dog.
So, no, but I think she's on the phone with somebody, and she's like, oh, something's wrong with the school. She goes there, and she's like, excuse me, I'm trying to get into the school. My daughter is in there. I think my son is in there as well.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, hey, lady, there's something wrong with your car. And she gets out of it, and they machine gun it until it explodes.
Awesome.
And pretty I'm like, cool. Here awesome. We go. Are we going to kill people? Because I've never seen this movie before. I was like, I don't know what the rating is.
It's a movie for children.
Yeah.
And these are live rounds, though. They shoot the shit out of a bunch of cars in this movie.
It's great.
Yeah, but this is a smart move. You leave as many witnesses as you can. Just hundreds upon hundreds of them.
So Patrick Stewart's motivation here is that he's going to blackmail a bunch of the parents. Like, these are all like rich families taking their kids to this private school. So he's got a list of like the richest kids in the school, and he's like, bring me these five little piggies and we're going to call their parents.
Great scheme. I really appreciate it.
Also the exact scheme from Toy Soldiers.
Oh, okay.
Just FYI.
But that's a military school.
Some may say there's a lot of money in the military.
Oh shit, dude. You can fucking get that big new budget.
Lockheed Martin,
exactly.
Yeah, 750 million.
Also eerily similar to the Morgan Freeman Along Came a Spider plot.
Oh, wow. I haven't seen that in a long time.
I don't remember
time.
That. I remember like a car falls off a bridge or something in that movie.
That's
like,
when Monica Potter's evil at the end.
And Michael Wincott abducts some governor's daughter or something.
Oh, man. Michael Wincott. Ew.
Who?
He's the guy from Willow. He's also...
Bad guy from Crow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Michael Wincott.
That's pretty good. You just need like a puffy shirt now.
So right around here, like, one, Patrick Stewart makes some sick burn on violent American society, which I guess this is definitely means that this movie does not take place in Canada.
Yes.
Even though it just should.
Mm-hmm.
But he wouldn't get that sick line in, I guess. But then Kartheiser right here gets on the phone. He's talking to K-Dog right here because he uses he's telling him, he's like, oh, there's all these guys around, K-Dog, and they all have hardcore artillery. And he's walking around and he's cool as a cucumber. He's talking like Bruce Willis.
He does say, we got ourselves a diehard situation here, man.
Like, he's done this shit 1,000 times. Oh, yeah, K-Dog, don't worry about it. They have hardcore artillery. How about I'm just sitting in a closet shitting my pants? No,
well, because he's a gamer. He's got all the knowledge of what to do. Yeah, he's like, I've played every map, dude.
Yeah,
I know what to do.
Eric's correct. He's detached from reality. Yes. He no longer sees this as real life. This is a game. No,
this dude's an incel, guaranteed.
No, I think in 15 years, he's Joaquin Phoenix from You Were Never Here.
You were never really here.
You were never really
he's just going around fucking killing people with hammers.
Yes.
I can
after
also
the events
buy
of
that.
This movie, yeah, I think he's just.
One difference, though, is that Joaquin's character in that movie is a veteran with PTSD and guaranteed this dude's not serving shit.
No, he's a veteran of fucking Gamergate, dude. Oh,
yeah. They lost a lot of fine soldiers in Gamergate.
Thank you for your service for bullying that woman. Congratulations. Oh, God.
I remember when they got putrid ass boil 84.
Made a lot of memes back then. Didn't want to, but I had to. It was them or me.
These fucking losers.
So he
shoot the shit out of more cars right here. And is this just to prevent people from driving away?
Yeah, I guess so. But it's also to show what's going on at the school.
Oh, I see, that they're not messing around.
Creates natural barriers too.
And Karthizer Smart. Escapes into a vent system. He winds up at some old part of the school.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this is the haunted wing?
He ends up on the roof at some point before he gets into the haunted house that's a part of the school. Uh-huh. And he just jumps down a chimney. Like, nothing's breaking his fall except for his legs. He should be dead or shattered. In some regard.
Well, he's running on a bunch of fucking Surge, dude. He's just got the sugar high.
Surge was cold in the morning.
But it is awesome, though, because like some dude like is about to spot him, and he's just like, huh, and jumps down this fucking chimney, and somehow manages to get into a haunted house.
It would have been funny if it was like the in Gremlins when Phoebe Cates tells that story about her dad dying because he jumps down like Santa Claus.
Oh, God,
and he gets stuck, and no one knew. Like, that's what he just gets stuck, and I don't know. I guess that kid escaped. Cut to 6 months later, he's a skeleton. It's in the fucking.
What's that smell?
Or then the rest of the movie's just like 127 hours.
Oh, wow.
Cutting off his limbs to fall down the chimney.
He has a fucking dumbass line here, too, because he's looking around. This clearly haunted wing. Like a student was murdered here and they just boarded it up. He goes, so that's what they did with Uncle Fester. Hold for applause.
It looks like something out of the Resident Evil games. Like there's some journal somewhere in some little drawer.
You gotta find Uncle's journal.
Some fucking puzzle you gotta do. Oh,
Christ. Move the ruby in the fucking statue. Can I see a zombie or what?
Exactly. I bought this to shoot at things and I have to do a puzzle. I like really took me out of those games. I was furious.
Like looking up a recipe in Zelda.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. My God.
So there is a computer. He gets to a computer room here. He's able to hack into Picard. I keep calling him Picard because I'm a child. Patrick Stewart's system.
Yeah, Bentley's system.
And
what's he doing here? He's stealing the data so he knows like what the plan is or something?
I think so. He's just trying to get an upper hand on things. And this is the best part is...
Where did those 70,000 Bentley emails go? Where did they go?
The police chief, they make a perimeter. And Bentley's like, I swear to God, if anyone comes within 50 yards of this school, I'm going to start shooting children. Well, he doesn't say exactly like that, but he does say, 50 yards, this is a hostage situation.
It's going to get sloppy as fuck.
And, the captain's like, yeah, no problem. Send in a bunch of guys right now. This could have been fucking Waco times 5.
Oh, definitely. Yep.
Kitty Waco. More kids. Waco.
Do
now not with more
Google,
kids.
Do not Google Kitty Waco.
Please don't. Please don't ever type the word kitty into the internet. How about that?
That's a good rule of thumb. Probably,
good rule of thumb, right?
Yeah, don't even say it. Not even on a podcast.
Well, I'm sorry.
Steve, we just don't want you doing hard time like my parents' next door neighbor. That's a story for another day.
So speaking of kitties, there's an assembly and all the kitties are in there. And Patrick Stewart does this great we just want to keep you safe. And
hello.
You might hear some weird things today. It's just an exercise with the police. Now there might be some explosions, kapooms.
Yes.
And you might see some weird things like guns. Ba-doo, ba-doo, ba-doo. It's
or
amazing.
A dead body like this.
It's just a severed head of the pigeon lady.
Or a bunch of blood. But it's just strawberry jam.
Drip, drip, drip. Delicious.
He's such an asshole in this.
I love him.
When he was like, oh, they like me. Don't you see? They like me more than you, Fricker. Oh dear. And then he like records his own outgoing message for the school.
Yes.
He took time out of this terrorist fucking assault.
Gotta do it.
But it doesn't make any sense that the cops were already there. Who gives a shit about an outgoing message for parents?
That's a great question.
There's a lot of great questions to come, because I feel like this movie is a burrito that sounds like really good. Like, oh, it's like the carnitas burrito. It's just pork. It's awesome. You order it because like Die Hard in a Prep School. Got it. I want that movie.
Yeah, yep. Patrick Stewart, sign me up.
Yeah, but it just starts to unravel because there's just too much shit in here.
Mm.
There's just way too much. Like, where did the corn come from? I didn't ask for corn.
Yeah, man. Fucking sloppy burrito cinema.
Because the next thing we do, we cut to Matt Craven, who you'll forget was in this movie, and Brad Whitford, not Bradley Whitford.
Oh, yeah.
Who doesn't need to be in this movie.
Not in the least.
It's just
this whole side.
That whole thing.
Are we negotiating like the next host of The Tonight Show? Like, what is this fucking television executive deal that's being brokered?
I think it's supposed to be like a cable merger.
Right.
Oh.
Jay Leno's hiding in the closet. Oh, really? Okay. Letterman.
We could lose Conan, too.
Okay, prep school full of kids. Guns, got it. Just writing it down.
I wonder how they're going to spell all this in the newspaper.
It's so extra at this point.
Stupid news. Come on, folks.
You know what? One of the greatest things we're missing from films today is back in the late 90s, I think in particular, there was a lot of Jay Leno on The Tonight Show in movies commenting on the events of the film.
Yep.
I remember Mad City with Travolta.
Wow. Yeah. Does that have a Jay Leno appearance?
I think it's like probably the longest of the Jay Leno appearances.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Isn't that the movie about like the poisoned water?
No, that's a civil action.
Yeah.
Oh,
what's this? Is a hostage situation.
It's like
with
Dustin
a bank
Hoffman
vault.
Like a sad old bastard holding up someone. I don't know. Some shit.
Or John Travolta's holding up something, and Dustin Hoffman's like the old reporter who goes to cover it.
Oh, okay.
You can tell how prevalent
this
movie
in theaters. Oh,
directed by Costa Gavra.
Yes, wow. You're right. Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, boy.
Wait, so what's Jay Leno talking? He's just talking about the hostage situation?
Yeah, exactly. He just does monologue jokes about what's happening.
Oh, that's bizarre.
Funny enough, it happened so much in the 90s. The last film we talked about, The Flintstones, had one too, right?
Oh, well, he was like hosting. That's a rare instance of Jay Leno playing a character.
Well, it's Jay Leno month here on We Hate Movies.
It is. Collision Course coming up.
Oh, Christ.
I feel like they've kept it up, though, because you can't fucking watch a movie without seeing fucking Fallon these days.
Fallon is in a lot of movies now.
Everywhere.
Is he in that Jurassic Park sequel, too? Because he's in that first one.
No, it's just the second one.
I blinked that shit out.
It's just the first one. He's not in the second one.
I don't know.
Pat
Kiernan gets around, man.
Pat Kiernan's got a page on the MCU wiki.
I appreciate that, though, because Pat Kiernan, he kind of needs the help, I feel. Like, it's like a good pick-me-up for him.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, how much is New York One paying?
He's a New York institution, Pat Kiernan.
No, definitely.
Yes.
New York One is paying him more than other people at New York One, I bet.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and he's all, speaking of Canadian...
That's right. Yeah. But see, that's okay, though, because it's like Pat Kiernan is a local news guy that nobody knows. It's like when you're putting like Jay Leno and Fallon in these situations, it's like, see, everybody, this could be happening in the real world.
You'll get some Jimmy Kimmel sometimes, but very few and far between. Mm,
Daily Show and Kimmel. Like, Trevor Noah, I've been noticing more TV has been using him as their...
Really?
Yeah.
Ew. He should just concentrate on his own show.
That would be nice.
Patrick Stewart is rounding up these kids. He's got a list of kids. One of the teachers stands up sick, and it's kind of great because she knows, obviously, it's a hostage situation.
Yeah.
Even though, like, you know, he's playing it off. It's not... And she's like, what are you going to do with these kids? Which is a great question.
Yeah.
And he's like,
wouldn't you like to know?
He's like, well, now you're helping us round them up, Missy. And she helps. And
okay, now what I want you to do is separate the girls and the boys. I won't tell you why.
Just everyone get in a different room. No. But this is at this point. Melissa is the Carthizer's sister, stepsister. And she's with her friend Gabby, who happens to be one of the rich girls. and they won't be separated. She's like, I want to be with my friend Gabby. And he's like, all right, whatever, more fuel to the fire, man.
Well, how much are you worth there, little Melissa? You didn't make my list.
Your arms are too stringy for the manual labor we're going to put you through.
He's got a list of the worth of all the kids.
Oh, he does. It's a little checklist.
Well, even like the poor kids, oh, you're only worth $150. Jesus Christ.
I'll do you a favor, kill you right now. It'll be good.
Right? Because like the thing is like $75 million from $75 million rich dollars. Parents. Jeez. They all have to donate this money or he starts blowing these kids away.
That's right.
And yes, and as this is happening, the police try multiple times to infiltrate the school and explode or get blown
Fail
up.
Horribly.
Fail horribly.
Simultaneously, CKR is down below the school with a bunch of fucking... an indeterminate amount of
mole men.
He has the line, gentlemen, start your engines, and he's drilling.
And he's got the worst British accent. He has one scene with Patrick Stewart that's always got to be uncomfortable when like a non-British person is like doing a real shitty British accent to a British person.
Yeah, no, like I would imagine it's similar to our UK listeners listening to this fucking shit week in and week out. Mm-hmm.
Well, he has also a very weird and annoying tic. He's super weird about being on time.
Yes, that's his like gag. Like, even
when everybody's like, the child has the upper hand, we're so fucked.
The child has the upper hand now. We have to be on time.
Because this
gotta get to Fraggle Rock, we do.
The kid, Carthizer, starts hacking the school.
Yeah.
And he starts messing with
shit.
Messing with the heating system.
Ooh.
Hot. There's this like freaking Italian head of computers for Patrick Stewart. This mook. Anyone get a look at this guy?
I did.
His name's like Marvin or something.
Yeah, he's like, oh man, this kid over here is messing up the whole freaking thing. And Patrick Stewart's like, all right, Marvin, relax.
Someone might shoot you in the face, Marvin. Be good.
I'm around this computer.
Exactly. Oh, mamma mia, control delete.
And yeah, so like the heat starts to go up. Everyone gets really hot and they're trying to figure out what's going on. Then the sprinklers go off. This is a big deal.
He's messing with them. I will say, before the sprinklers go off, there is some awesome pitting out of like almost every character in this movie. Because they're pitting out, dude.
Are you explaining?
What? Are you kidding me?
Oh, sweat. Your
pit stains. Oh, pit now. Pit stain. Oh, because it's hot as balls in the school.
I call pitting out something else.
What do you call it?
I don't know, when I'm digging in my ass.
When I thought that was digging in my ass.
I thought you called that coring.
Well, that's when I remove it. But no, otherwise it's just a cavernous pit.
I see. Well, that's good to know.
Yes.
I'm just trying to liven things up, guys.
It's good information. That
just
I
talking about digging in your own ass. You know,
all you do that. You get some dingleberries in there. You gotta get them out.
That's one of those things.
You gotta go mining.
That's one of those things. Like when I'm on my deathbed and the synapses are firing, that one's gonna come back to me.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, Eric likes to do that.
Spelunking.
So Whitford is like the dad of another kid at the school.
Yes, and they're doing this.
So these two of these titans of television trying to strike this deal have kids at this private
super
school.
Super ill-defined, and they're yelling, and they get a phone call from Annabelle Gurwitch like, hey, look, all of your kids are in danger.
Yeah.
You guys have to come back now. They get in a helicopter. They put the deal on pause, right? Did I have that right?
They get in this helicopter, not before Bradley Whitford is like, he says to some third guy, he's like, you keep them talking and you keep hammering them with everything you got until we get, and I'm like, your child has been kidnapped.
You want to keep this camera on me? I'm going to walk and talk real quick. Don't worry about it.
It's so ill-defined. It's like, you keep hammering them. This business deal's got to go through. I mean, the paperwork, business and money and paper.
He's dressed like fucking an ambassador on Babylon 5. It's an insane, business suit. I guess it's supposed to make him look like a cool young executive, but because it's collarless, it looks weird.
Yeah.
It does look bizarre.
And then they get in a helicopter, they get over there, and they start to negotiate, and they realize, Bentley, the guy, Patrick Stewart, is their former head of security.
Bentley? That's not Rafe Bentley.
Also, don't use your real name, and also try and hide your iconic voice, sir.
Yes, if you could. Surely there are not other Rafe Bentleys out there.
Actually, it's Ralph Bentley.
I'm his brother. I'm my brother. Wait, what? I'm hanging up. Prank caller. Why? Yes. This is Frank Rizzo, smartass. Sizzle chest. Your tits.
And coming up in a few moments, the Egyptian magician.
Oh, no.
Yikes.
Hang up. No, but so they realize this. He's like, yeah, so didn't think I'd have the upper hand on you this time, did you, you son of a bitch?
It's weird how they pepper in like some PG-13 profanity in this movie.
Yeah.
It's like mainly stuff like that. Carthage and shit.
Shithead happens, I think.
Oh, shithead happens.
Principal calls a guy later in the film that we'll get to. Shithead.
The best one, I still think, is when Amarone himself goes to a computer and it says Wienerhead.
Oh, yeah.
Bouncing
right. That
on
was the big thing. Like, they're going, like, he can't get into the control room where Carthizer, that's his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where he put in, like, the fucking sprinklers and the heat and stuff. And once he finally gets in, you'd think like maybe he'd like destroy the computer or sure. like take the keyboard or do something to make it like yeah. not stoppable. But instead he takes the time to go into settings, display, screensaver uh-huh. and types in Wienerhead. And then I guess sets it to a low timer so that it would come on in time for this guy to see it.
Oh, I've been there, man.
Yeah.
You said you go to settings, display. I spent a lot of time. That's what I thought computing was for a long time, is getting on settings and changing that desktop background, yeah. man.
That's just Windows 95 for you.
Absolutely. And then you put a password protection thing nice. On the screensaver so you can't get Wienerhead off of there.
That would have been a great idea.
And that guy's like, bro, fucking Wienerhead? Are you fucking kidding me with this shit?
It'd be great if it was just Vincent Carter's, you didn't say the magic word, rock and roll.
And so, like, everybody, literally every character who's not at this school when shit goes down is making their way to this school. Even K-Dog himself is skitching on the back of a garbage truck to get there to help out.
And here's the thing about K-Dog. They're buddies. You know, he calls them up. He calls up Carthage.
Buddies like, hey. And business partners.
He's like, hey, man, you know, I'm not selling as many. Where's the game? I'm supposed to sell it today, blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh, man, diehard situation. He's like, well, I'm going to come right over. A, terrible idea. B, as they're talking, this guy, if my name is K-Dog, my name is K-Dog. You can call me K, you can call me Dog. You cannot call me Doggy. Doggy is off.
Really? Why?
What about K-Doggy?
But how about if I don't respect you at all?
Oh, okay, then you can.
Then I can call you Doggy? Okay, because that's what's happening
here. I miss Doggy.
He's called him Doggy all throughout this music.
I don't know. I'm on the phone with him. Yeah, while he's trying to give him business, he's like, thank you, Doggy. Oh,
well, he's known for that style.
That's correct.
I'm better than fucking everybody, especially my puppy here.
But Patrick Stewart, by the way, we're going all over because whatever. But Patrick Stewart's like, well, now that I have you on the phone, Bradley Whitford, I'm going to let go all of the poor students, and I'm raising my price to $600 million.
This Whoa. Is a jump and a half.
It is. Whoa. It really is.
He says, yeah, he's going to let, I guess, like the 25 poorest students
sure.
go. Because you can't let them all go, because if you have to like put one in the head of one of these
sure,
rich kids,
totally.
You still want to try to make up that loss.
Well, this is where you know he wants to die. 600 million. If somebody tells you, I want 600 million, you're like, okay, he wants us
to
kill him.
I want a helicopter, mister. You better get me that private helicopter and 600 quadrillion billion dollars.
And Godzilla.
And Jodie Foster better be here, because we're married secretly. She doesn't know it, but I know it.
Bring me Ronald Reagan.
Action man.
So, yeah.
Also, bring me the rest of the Beatles, the surviving members.
Who's alive? It's 97.
Who can I shoot?
Everyone but John. They're all good. There.
You could give me Ringo.
Oh, but I'm hoping for George.
He pulls a 100% lifted from fucking Home Alone move around here, where he heats up the door handle.
Love it.
This little son of a bitch. Like, how dare this movie?
This is so smart, though, because you think that's it. You're like, oh, whoa. Classic Home Alone-esque move.
Right, but he takes it up a notch.
Yeah, because this guy then gets into the room. His hand is burning like he's in the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark, babe.
Oh,
and
yes.
Whatever that guy's name was. And he steps on the floor, and it's acid.
Yeah.
There's like science lab acid on the floor.
Boiling acid.
Exactly. So he's like, oh, you kid.
This guy looks like Garrett Graham, by the way.
I thought it was Garrett Graham through like half this movie.
I wish we would be so lucky.
Well, I mean, you can now you know why they needed a security team and they needed fucking, you know, help with the school now. Because they were fucking flinging around acid in science class.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Do you think this is why he got kicked out initially? Is he was doing this type of stuff to people?
We have to use acid. We have to use acid everywhere.
At this point,
xenomorphs.
He lures the same guy into a room, and he's like, the guy does have no shoes, and you think that's going to be part of the prank or whatever. And he's like,
I was waiting for that to be the whole movie because that's just another Die Hard.
Exactly,
thing.
I was waiting for that John McClane moment.
But he's like, you know, by the way, coal is one of our most natural resources.
Most abundant natural resource. Take that, 1997.
And
great.
He opens the thing, and a bunch of coal falls on the dude.
Is he dead? Or no,
he keeps. Oh, okay. You keep thinking he's dead, but he keeps alive.
He would be dead, I think.
That was a heavy fall.
Why is there coal?
That's a great. I guess.
I guess
old
for
school,
winter, yeah, they fucking throw it into the furnace.
I think the Donner Party was.
Fred Krueger works at this place.
Killed by beautiful, clean coal.
It's coming back.
It fell all over a guy. He's dead. Pick it up. Pick it up. Such a heavenly way to die. You have a job. Pick it up. We keep like going back to this drill every once in a while, yeah. And it's just like, yep. Still drilling. Uh-huh. And now back to the movie.
Well, at one point,
with the showers, with the fucking sprinklers, there's this whole thing about like turn off the water main, and then they turn it off, but then he can't drill because they need water to use the drill, so they keep turning it back on and off. It's very funny.
It is very funny. At this point, Kartheiser is in the tunnel system, and they send in the ferret. Ooh. Which is real weird.
When they said like that, I thought it was going to be like a mythical creature.
No, it's just a weird short guy.
I thought it was going to be Steve Buscemi.
I thought it was going to be like a bunch of rats tied together.
Yeah.
Like really just try to get this kid out of these vents.
Yeah, and he's like got to run around, you know. At this point, Kartheiser's got a gun, which is a very... something you could do in 1997 and 1998, but then that's it.
Right, then guns in schools are not...
less fun.
Yeah.
It is weird watching it now, and he's just running around with his fucking terrible haircut mm-hmm. and this firearm.
But it turns out to be a trank gun, and he gets ferret. This is another guy you think is dead, because it's a ferret's coming after
him. Yes, this is actually this is a pretty good scene. Decent stunt or dummy work or whatever it is.
He shoots the ferret shoots him first. The ferret gets him in the rubber part of his shoe. He shoots ferret in the neck. The ferret falls down this shaft like 30 to 40 feet.
Yeah,
you hear a clank. This dude is dead.
Here's the thing. If you're going to call him the ferret,
yeah.
He needs to be a little bit more slender.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's
yeah.
a little too pudgy. This is a mole man.
It's a mole man, dude.
The burrower. Something that sounds fat.
Send in the groundhog.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that's not what we call him, the ferret, because there's some stories about him you don't want to know about, all right? It's just, we don't think they're true, but yes. Names stick. Listen, but it's a gang.
He might have been with Richard Gere. Oh, wait, that's a gerbil.
They call him the ferret. They call me the diaper. Don't worry about either of the names, all right?
Who is the guy that gets electrocuted somehow?
Garrett Graham again. He comes back to life.
Oh, is it him again?
Yes.
You know who he also looks like? The tiniest bit is Sting.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, the guy's chasing him, and like he's like, come here, kid. And then Carthage is like, in your dreams. I feel like the guy should be like, no, it's not.
No. What? I don't dream about that.
Shut up. You know what? Now I'm not even chasing you anymore. You're sick. Hey, kid, you're sick.
The is it the police department or is it Brad Garrett? Somebody tells
me.
Brad Whitford, pardon me.
Raymond, the school's been taken over.
My son's in there.
Oh, is that my son in there?
Or Brad Garrett's playing the little mole person. That would be funny.
Yeah, the dude would be the nice. Ferret, then he'd be the polar bear.
Yeah, he can fit in a vent, dude. The guy is a vent. Vincent Kartheiser would have to go inside of him and then have to send the ferret into Brad Garrett.
Better movie. Somebody mentioned somewhere around here that Patrick Stewart is ex-British Secret Service.
Yeah, sure. No, I mean, yes, they do.
You say that, though. He needs to go up to, like, Callum Keith Rennie or one of the dudes on the team and be like,
I believe, mister, we are behind schedule, neck brace.
Yes. He has to be not foiled by a kid who spends most of his day sitting down.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be nice, maybe.
Well, it's two, because K-Dog's involved as well.
K-Dog's probably sitting down, too. He sounds like he's got a handle.
No, he's out, dude, fucking pounding the pavement, selling these bootleg games.
I guess. I thought he had a phone tree or something.
he might have a phone tree.
But the thing is, so at this point, at some point in this thing, where like, Carthage is just running around the school, dispatching the ferret and other people. He gets on the phone with Annabelle Gurwitch, and it's a really weird scene, because she's like, oh my God, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm okay. And she's like, you got to do it. You got to stop this. You're the only one that can do it. I'm like, you know, you're sending this kid to his death, right? Like, the thing you say is like, just find a closet, stay out of the way,
absolutely.
Be safe. Are you safe? Stay safe.
I knew we shouldn't let you rent Die Hard. Look exactly. What happened.
But she's like, you're our only hope. You're our man on the inside. And I'm like, the fucking flying hell. You're trying to get this kid killed. I guess it's because her real daughter is in danger. She's like,
she doesn't care about this fucking turd.
But that's the whole scene. She's like, I'm sorry your mother walked out or whatever.
You know what? A few minutes too late, screenplay. Well, I don't give a fuck.
This is where you're like, there's cauliflower in the burritos?
If she's sending him on a suicide mission, that ups the suicide
feelings
quite a bit. I think that's a good move.
Speaking of
the way to groom a child soldier, I guess.
Speaking of suicide, this is about the time when they start sending wave and wave of cop in.
Yes.
And they just start stepping on landmines.
Yes.
It's like, how did those get there?
I think it's from a separate terrorist attack that's happening at this school.
I think we need a flashback of Patrick Stewart in a fake beard being, oh, I'm the gardener.
Yeah, back in 1942, or whenever you would get mines.
Oh, you can get mine. I can get you some mines.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're going to get me some mines.
In the
90s,
in the Balkans, they were everywhere, dude. Maybe Patrick Stewart did some time down there, destabilizing Kosovo.
That sounds like his MO.
Yes. We're installing a new sprinkler system. My name is Rafe Gently.
Man, Rafe Gently, look out, porn name.
I thought you were going to say he like looks at a car. Bentley.
He keeps doing it.
Somewhere around here, speaking of fucking pornography, Patrick Stewart has a horrendous line. I'm pretty sure it's Patrick Stewart, where he says, I think he's yelling at Brad Whitford maybe on the phone, and he's like, I'll spend all my money rubbing you out. What? Think about what you're saying, terrorist.
Rub it out, dude. They also, one of his goons shoots a bazooka at this like SWAT van, which was appreciated. Good explosion.
Not bad. Practical effects. Mm-hmm. I'm totally down.
The sort of like things are, they get money together by this money man who comes out of nowhere. I guess he's in the boardroom scene, but he becomes so important to this movie.
Oh, big time.
Foster, I think his name is.
Oh, yeah, dude. Foster is a key player in all of this.
I thought old fuck too is how I had him in my mind.
He shows up to Bradley Whitford and says, well, let's do it, Bradley Whitford. He's like, ah. Oh. Thanks, Foster. And meanwhile, Matt Craven, who you thought was in this movie, is just sitting on his hands somewhere.
He's credited like kind of up top, too. I didn't get it. So there's a weird thing. So around here, by the way, it's not phones. It's walkie-talkies. Because what happened, the mom grabbed the walkie-talkie from K-Dog.
Yes.
This is where the grown woman is addressing this child as K-Dog.
Sure.
And one of the guys, I think it's the Italian dude, is like, hey, Bentley, get over here. I'm getting something on this half channel. And I was like, I don't know enough about radios, I guess. But they discover that, like, they figured out Carthizer's identity. They know that, like, his sister's here, blah, 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 blah.
I'm sorry to break up this touching family reunion, but shut up.
And he's like, all right, now I'm definitely getting that little girl.
But this is when he turns the screws on Miss Fricker over here, or Mrs. Malloy, whatever her character name
Maloney.
Is. Maloney. Maloney, because she's like, I'll release 20 students if you tell me who Melissa So-and-Show is.
Right.
And she's like, I won't do it. I won't. And he's like,
but it would look worse in the paper if they're dead. And she's like, all right, it's Melissa so-and-so. It's this girl, this, yeah. that, and the other thing. It's like, man, you just fucking sold out a little girl.
One dead girl or one dead school class. You decide, principal.
And I definitely need, blame you, not me.
The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
That's right.
Star Trek adage.
Is this like, so when she caves and gives this info, is this where he does the little shimmy?
I think he's doing some shimmies.
He does like it's the one where doing, oh my God, like, little yes. dancing.
Well, that's the one where he's saying like he's excited about getting the money, and he's like, oh, he's going to go to a tropical island.
Oh yes,
under the tropical sun. Yes, yes. I'm going to be spending my rest of my days under the tropical sun.
But that's what he does in either Generations or First Contact. It's the same thing. Let's try a mambo.
Oh right,
right.
That's what he was doing in the 90s. I guess he was in a dance class or something.
I got that gift certificate, goddammit, and I'm going to take every last one of those classes and integrate it into my work in Star Trek and elsewhere.
All right, Nazis, what we're going to do is we're going to storm that green room and we're going to fucking kill them. And then we'll mumbo afterwards. We'll get our red laces and be mumboing here and there.
Man, we saw that movie like right after Anton passed away, so it was like kind of weird, but... Fuck, Patrick Stewart is great in that movie.
And so is Anton Yelchin.
Yeah. I mean, yes. It's a great movie, but like Patrick Stewart specifically is yes. like bone chilling in that movie.
His film career kind of sucks, right? That's not a.
Yeah, it sucks.
It
yeah.
just kind of sucks.
Well, he's got those franchise towns, and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, he's great on the stage, television here and there. Claudius, he's great in, you know, the old BBC stuff. But like, his film career has just not been great, and like. That's what I was so happy that Green Room happened. And like,
yeah.
he's kind of going through a renaissance a little bit, right?
What? I mean, the new Picard show I'm pumped for. I cried at the announcement.
Logan was something.
Okay, that's right. I forgot about that.
I'm trying to think of, none of you ask Ethan Hawke. No. Who the fuck cares?
God, Ethan Hawke's rest.
Right. Ethan Hawke is correct.
I'm trying to... He had some stuff.
He's the bad guy in Conspiracy Theory. That does not count.
Wait a second. Yeah,
that's a stay tuned and a half, though.
That's like 2 years before this movie.
Wasn't he like Robin Hood, Men in Tights? That's kind of it,
right?
Oh, Jesus. Right. He played the king.
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie. Try to go back and watch that.
It's nah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm like the biggest Mel Brooks fan to begin with, but like... That one specifically?
Yeah, I like Mel Brooks, but I feel like that one is very much of its time.
Oh, he's on that American Dad show. He's in a movie called The Wild Wedding as Harold. He's in the Emoji Movie. Yeah, it's just not
good.
Green Room. He was the fucking voice of that dragon in the direct-to-DVD Dragonheart sequel that came out a couple years back. That sucked.
Note to self, rent Dragonheart sequel.
People say that blunt talk was supposed to be funny.
It was okay.
I did not see it, though.
You really have to like Jonathan Ames' like voice.
I'm okay with his voice.
I mean, I like Bored to Death, too. It's just like you really do have to. That's kind of all it has going for it.
Oh, apparently he's in both Ted 2 and A Million Ways to Die in the West because he saw fucking Seth MacFarlane kill somebody.
Well, no, he's on that American Dad show,
he's part of the family. He's probably there for Thanksgiving.
And he was on Family Guy a bunch, too.
I don't know what Thanksgiving is, but I'll come over, Seth.
I don't know what American Dad... I've never seen the show.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It's a lot of fun, I bet.
There's an alien in it.
Okay. You know what he's in that I watched to see if it would be an episode, and it's not because it's just like barely a movie and total trash. Is that Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return?
Oh my lord!
It's like shit ass, like food fight level CGI.
Oh god!
But with like. Dan Aykroyd, Jim Belushi, Kelsey Grammer, Leah Michelle, Martin Short, Bernadette Peters, Hugh Dancy, Oliver Platt. Like, the list goes on for this garbage fucking Oz movie.
Note to self, garbage Oz movie.
Dude, it's unwatchable. You'd be better off renting that Dragonheart sequel, I'll tell you.
That is the one notable bit of trivia about this movie, is that they offered the role of Bentley to Kelsey Grammer first.
Oh, really?
And he turned it down.
Niles taking over this school is the worst idea you ever had.
Oh, Niles, it's a hacker.
All right. Well, I tried my best in Seattle. I guess I'll go to California to be a security expert. Oh, what? I'm fired.
We'll never have to buy sherry again.
There's so like Kartheiser, he's running around with a baseball bat. He's kind of like upping the game here. He breaks into a room where the pigeon lady and like a couple of other teachers are hiding with all these kids.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, you know, where's my sister?
She won an Oscar and we're
for
just
the pigeon lady. She won an Oscar for Home Alone 2, Escape from New York.
She was the woman who played the pigeon lady in Home Alone 2.
I believe also in that movie.
Down and to the left.
We're told that... doesn't the pigeon lady like live in the attic of Carnegie Hall?
Like, yes, is that the thing? Something which, like that.
There are apartments up there. I read about.
There are,
which
are
ridiculous, and they're like rent controlled since like, 1910.
Bill Cunningham live there?
That's the thing. In the Bill Cunningham documentary, he gets fucking forced out of that.
That makes total sense.
Yeah. So now they're just like rich motherfuckers instead of like working artist legends like Bill Cunningham getting to live in them and. You know, sustain meager life as it's going.
It sounds like New York real estate's a little corrupt.
you don't fucking say.
I don't know, but it sounds like that.
Yeah.
The pigeon lady has some like action around here too. She's like kicking some ass.
Oh,
she gets like
that kind of action. Okay. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, she's not fucking those birds, dude.
She had a bird baby.
Oh God.
She fucking laid an egg in the park, dude. I saw it.
Dude, the pigeon lady must have smelled like shit.
Oh my God, are you kidding?
Right?
Yeah.
And here's the problem, the biggest problem with that movie. Why is she not covered head to toe in feces?
Well, I mean, piss, feces, it dries.
Do you think she gained respect for Brenda Fricker?
Fricker, I believe.
I think.
Yes. Brenda Fricker, do you think she gained respect for pigeons whilst filming that movie or lost respect?
Lost,
for her?
Yes. And I mean, Cabin might be onto something. Like, stuff dries. So maybe it was just like the shit turned to dust on her.
Oh, wow.
Like, after a while, she just dust off her
remain.
Coat. Of course, yeah,
it'd
a little
be in
bit.
The fibers.
Oh,
at that
it's
point.
It's in your lungs, dude.
And she's definitely got some parasites going on inside of her.
Tapeworms up the wazoo.
She's got like four tapeworms. It's a tapeworm eating itself.
So he winds up putting them in the haunted part of the school, and that means they're well hidden.
He has something, though, where he's like, he gets into this room and he's like, where's my sister? And Fricker is like, well, everyone's here except your sister. She was kidnapped because the terrorists know who you are. And he goes like, what? Every little brat in here is I'm like, you are like fucking 2 years older than these kids. Again, you bastard character.
And Fricker is like, go on, go and save the day. Again, no. As like an adult in this situation, you have to be like, hey, child, stay here. Let's wait for the cops to sort this out.
Because the other thing is, what is happening here is, one, it's a terrorist takeover of a school. But secondly to that, it's the kid who left the school and he's coming back not as a student.
Yeah.
And it's like how that relationship is with the fucking teachers that are still there.
Yes, yeah.
I know he was expelled, but it's the same thing like if anyone ever went back to their high school after graduation and you saw the teachers and they acted just a little bit differently because you weren't a student anymore.
Oh, sure.
That's that casualness or whatever like is happening here. And it's like, no. Terrorist situation happening.
Well, that is like going to be like a Saved by the Bell, the new class kind of thing. You think he's going to be the vice principal in a couple of years?
Oh man, that could be. Man, well, you never felt sorrier for Screech than in that series.
I was a little surprised because you'd want to differentiate from Home Alone a little bit. Like he doesn't have like a love interest or anything.
Yeah,
like that.
Some girl,
like
or something.
Something for him to do other than just be like, "Told you so."
Well, he
did. Gotcha.
Well, that's the thing.
He's a computer guy, dude. He doesn't have a girlfriend.
Patrick Stewart. You would think it is like it should be like Die Hard, where it's like either Bruce Willis is on the screen or it's Alan Rickman or that's it. Maybe some Bonnie Bedelia, barely.
Yeah.
But like Patrick Stewart disappears for large swaths of this movie. Kartheiser disappears for large swaths of this movie.
When we have Brad Whitford talking with fucking Foster and these like money changing hands.
Listen, you keep on them about that. The business has to go through. I don't want this business not to go through. Business is supposed to go through. Business
goes
through.
You have to stamp and mail that business.
You business
gotta
that do the deal. Business that doesn't go through is not a business.
Did you sign that business?
Business
it needs to be signed.
Is
before it
is important.
Goes.
Money is business, and business is time.
I'm going to bring some of this business in my briefcase, but leave some of the business here.
Yeah. some of the businesses here. We can't take that particular bit of business home because Foster needs it to do some businessing later.
It's now, the vague business trade.
Now shut up, because I have to read my business all night tonight. That's what I have to do.
Foster shows up, actually, with a briefcase filled not with business, but Barabons. For $600 million. Right. I don't know how you get these things.
I don't know.
I don't know how you get it all the time.
There's something, I think they're like signing stock or something, like they're liquidating company stock or something ridiculous.
Oh, is that what it is?
I'm putting this together from my vague knowledge of business.
But in 97, like $600
million. .com boom, baby.
It would take a while. It would take a while.
Fucking dude, he's got a controlling interest in Excite.
Well, that's the thing. It would make more sense if it was somebody like the Mercers or something.
Give me all the Alta Vista stock.
Oh, you know what? Yes, put it all on twocows.com. Anybody ever use two cows?
No, I have no idea.
TUCOWS.com. If you go to it now, it probably disintegrates your computer, but it was a website where you could go to get like freeware programs, knockoff programs of actual things that you would have to pay for. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was just, if you needed like a shitty picture editing program, just go to Two Cows. They got garbage out the wazoo that you can download for free.
Oh, by the way, at this point, they have Patrick Stewart's arranging a helicopter to show up so that they can leave via the roof. But that's all just a clever ruse.
Ruse away.
We find out that CRR in the basement there is not a fortunate son.
CKR.
He's digging all the way to...
He's the Canadian Robert De Niro, Eric. Yeah. Show him some respect.
It's like a river or something.
It's a river of slime!
They're digging into this next room that has ATVs for their getaway, so presumably this stupid thing is they parked ATVs to drive away, and first of all, you're driving away in a recreational vehicle, this little toy
fucking car!
Go-kart? What the fuck are you doing? And you're going to drill through like what is taking forever. Like I don't even know how thick these walls are in this basement and the soil they're digging through. It seems like a massive waste of time.
Well, when they actually get through, it looks like cardboard. Like that you could have punched your way through to the other side.
And also you need like 30 men to do it. Like there's so many people down. Like there's like 20 dudes running around the school with machine guns. Those are the kidnappers. Then I guess that's why he has to up the take to $600 million, because he's got a lot of ends to cover here, man. It's like,
well, what are they doing that math on the fly?
All right, so the ATVs were how much? Okay, so, $75 million is not going to be enough. It's just not going to be enough.
Should have just rented a bus.
Is this drill coming from? Was that one of the demands? Bring me a drill. A diamond cutting drill.
Don't ask why.
Tomorrow we decide which countries we want to buy.
But there's this great bit where this captain, who's not really a character in the movie, the police captain who's running the scene, has no control over the scene, because K-Dog is now in a... he meets up with everybody. He's with the family. They're talking about the scheme.
Everybody, K-Dog is here. Guys, gather around. K-Dog is on the premises.
Doggy, you mean?
Doggy's here?
And K-Dog is like, well, I think we should let Action Man do his stuff, man. He's like, K-Dog, no, forget about it. It's too crazy. And then like K-Dog's like, forget you, man. And he leaves. I'm like, all right, K-Dog, but don't go inside of that active crime. Oh, he did. Ah, shit.
Is Bernie Sanders controlling the scene?
Somewhere around here, though, how does it come to be that K-Dog is involved in a plot where he's like sneaking through a sewer drain?
Well, that's what happens here. He looks at the thing. He's like, look, I can see where the sewer... You know, he realizes that they're going to escape via ATVs. And
K-Dog figures K-Dog that one out. Well, this is also because it's a...
And he gives it to the cops. He's like, all right, well, this is where we got to be. And he's like, K-Dog, forget it. We've got this under control. He's like, forget you guys. Like, all right, come on, K-Dog.
K-Dog, go home, watch Judge Judy before TRL comes on, and just relax.
Isn't this, though... Doesn't the mom say something... Like, because... K-Dog says something about the sewers.
Oh, is she enlisting another child soldier in her daughter's...
Yeah. I mean, am I crazy? There's something about, like, we used to go through these tunnels to cut class, and then she's like, oh, K-Dog, I am so disappointed in both of you.
It's another Die Hard 3 scene, because it ends up being flooding the tunnels.
At the end of it. In the fucking best way I've ever seen to flood a tunnel, man. We'll get to that in a second.
So, Foster is going to go in, and this is at this point. Picard, Patrick Stewart.
Dude, no, it's awesome. You're Picard. The only one just doing this. I know. It's great.
Patrick Stewart, because we do the Nexus every week, baby. It gets in your brain.
Every week, really.
No, I wish.
Every month.
Every month.
On patreon.com/wehatemovies.
But Patrick Stewart's on the phone. He's like, all right, the money is ready. I see my helicopter. Thank you. I'm about to mambo one more time. But one more adjustment to my plan. I want that son of a bitch who fired me, Foster, to deliver the money. And you're like, who the fuck is Foster? Like, I really have been watching this movie for this movie's an hour and 45 minutes.
How dare it, first of all. This is a hard 90 if I ever saw it.
I enjoyed watching this movie, but it does drag.
So Foster is like, and they're
fucking
like,
Foster.
I thought that was Bradley Whitford, the whole movie, by the way.
It should be. If you have Bradley Whitford, it has to be Bradley Whitford.
He's Foster, because who cares?
So it's like, all right, we're going to wire. They put a bulletproof vest on. I'm like, hey, Foster, try not to get shot in the face. It's a great
This is actually, I appreciated this because just once in a film, we are discussing the logistics of a bulletproof vest. And this dude's like, yeah, like there's a wire in there. So they won't even know if they check you, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, yeah, by the way, if they start shooting, make sure they get you in the chest. Don't go getting shot in the face or nothing. And I was like, thank you. No one ever says it.
Yeah, the bulletproof mask suffocates you, so you can't do that.
We need bulletproof masks, honestly. I would love to wear one every day.
I mean, you're going to have to if everything keeps going right? The way it's going.
It's fucking, it's like weather now. It's just like rain in the United States. And I would like to wear a mask to hide my face because I hate it.
You want a bulletproof mask to defend from rain?
With the rain of bullets shootings that constantly descend upon us.
God, how did you not follow that?
The cowering human populace of this country.
Because he was talking about weather.
Well, yeah. It's like we need Kevlar umbrellas.
Okay.
You know what one of my favorite details of this movie is?
Please.
Whenever they have to go into like the haunted chambers of this school, fucking Vincent Kartheiser is walking around with this goddamn candelabra like he's fucking Phantom of the Opera, dude. This thing is amazing.
It's outrageous.
It's like a 10-tiered candelabra, and he's got all of them lit. He needs a little
more.
And
now I hack under the school.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
He needs like a little, like there's a Stabbing Westward song in the beginning. You got that youth movement. We need a little bit more pop music. He needs to be like, I need some inspiration. And, yeah. Like, put on like.
Yeah. I heard some Seven Dust.
Oh, really? Okay. I did some Seven Dust. I could do some Placebo if we've got it.
Ooh, Placebo.
If we've got it.
Delightful,
that's a big
man. Delightful. But I do like it.
This is when he wires the pool to blow because he's like, all right, the movie's ending, so let me figure something out. And he puts a bomb in the pool, which was his plan for another day, but he's like, oh, I'll use it for this instead. Mm-hmm.
Oh, didn't I wire that pool to explode for plan G? Well, why not just use that now?
So he wires the pool to explode, and then he winds up going to this main room where the money is being handed off, and now there's this tete-a-tete between Patrick Stewart and Foster.
Where Patrick Stewart definitely has a line, screw you too, Foster. Fucking great.
And then, like, Kartheiser jumps in, takes the gun from Patrick.
I'm sorry, wait a second. Jumps through a skylight like he's Batman, for Christ's sakes.
Lands on Patrick Stewart, takes his gun, and gives it immediately to Foster, because I guess it's like the adult in the situation. So he's like, here you go. And then Foster goes, wrong move, kid. Yeah. I'm in on it. By the way, I'm Foster.
Who are you? I know. Who are you?
By the way, shoot this kid in the face.
Absolutely. Yes, dumb deal.
Yes, because he's been messing with your people the whole time. Yep. He's fucked up your plan.
You just told him you're in on it.
Yeah, he's got to go.
He's got to go.
They tie him up like whatever. Like, nah.
No. Two in the fucking head, dude.
Gotta, I understand. If you don't want to use a bullet, just fucking stab him in the neck.
Strangle him.
Stab him westward is what you should do.
Oh, yes, exactly.
It's kind of awesome. Like,
No. You're facing east. All right, let me move you towards the west.
This is
kind of awesome.
This like skylight jump. So like everybody's covered in glass. Patrick Stewart has had like a 100-pound kid land on him. They both stand up like nothing happened, and Patrick Stewart just goes, well, if it isn't Dennis the Menace.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
He's having Great a little line. Bit of fun in this movie.
There's something about a shove it somewhere around here.
Oh, really?
probably from Carthizer. It seems like a pretty cool thing to say.
So they tie him up, and he does. Like, I agree with Eric. Yes, if we shoot this kid in the head, they keep the girl for an insurance policy. I don't necessarily go in with that either. Like,
well, why would you? She's not one of the ultra rich kids. What does it matter?
Like, I mean, I guess the idea would be in case of trouble. Like, if the Federal is at the other end of this tunnel, I could have a gun gun. Oh. But that never works out anyway.
Just use Foster. Nobody knows he's crooked.
Her stepfather is doing vague business. So
yeah, he's like, they're EVP rich, right? Or something. Yeah,
yeah.
They're rich, but not super rich.
I see. Yeah, that's actually.
I mean, you've got nitric acid in this fucking school.
Yeah,
kill them both.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be like a bathtub or something, or like showers. Just fucking pour it all over and be fucking done with it.
Just fucking this giant tub of lye full of children.
And then you're like,
good imagery.
But then you're like, they're totally with me. Yeah, they're not in the school because I stole them. If I see any cops anywhere near me, man, I'm going to kill them. They're totally dead, by the way.
See, he wants to die. He wants to get caught. This is not like, this is exactly what's happening here.
So this is the dune buggy sequence. Which
oh,
is great.
Yeah. Chasing tunnels through these, chasing these kids in a tunnel, rather.
The pool, that explodes.
That explodes.
Right. Dude, it's kind of awesome right here.
Creates $75 million of property damage.
Dude, this tidal wave of this pool draining, and you see, it's my favorite shot in this movie. Fucking K-Dog is like getting hit with the water, and he's like, no! And I was like, oh my God, is this going to drown? Oh my God, sacrifice K-Dog's screenplay.
Well, because K-Dog's about to get killed by like Callum Keith Rennie or somebody. One of those goons is about to get him, and then the water gets all these guys. And after this point, the only people left on the board, as it were are Foster, Patrick Stewart, and Carthizer. That's it. Everyone else is, I guess, dead?
Or just like, they tapped out.
Or they got an owie.
Yeah,
I think a lot of them got owies.
I don't know, man. A fucking pool falls on me, I'm done for the day.
That's an owie, yeah.
I'm done for the day.
So,
this dumb chase.
Well, Fricker knocks out Foster.
Yes.
A baseball bat a little bit, and then like
she gets hit with one of these dune buggies.
Yeah, she gets really ganked with it, and now K-Dog and Carthizer are chasing Patrick Stewart because he's got the girl. And
he's taken off his dress shirt.
This is awesome. He's dressed as a soccer hooligan. Who the fuck? Oh, it's just a dune bug riding soccer hooligan.
I guess
everybody.
It's Manchester United or something because he starts screaming United over and over again.
Yeah, it is a Man U uniform. And he's like, United! United! Or whatever he's called. Yeah. Very
so he's like, Rafe Bentley, you thought I was the upper crust. Turns out I'm a lowly Brit. You know, like, I go to soccer games and pubs. Disgusting.
They're chasing through this tunnel. Carthizer has, I think, the worst line in the movie.
Oh,
right here.
I know what you're going to say.
He goes, who does this guy think he is? Saddam Hussein?
Because at this time, there's a couple missiles that get fired off of one of these dune buggies, and that's what inspires that line, which is really like, no, he's more like Norman Schwarzkopf, babe. Come on.
He's loaded this thing up like Dr. Robotnik. I'm sorry.
You're right. No, you are right.
Okay.
Well, you're right.
It would be awesome if when his dune buggy crashes, a bunch of like bunnies and fucking birds jumped out of it.
Get them, Woodman.
He's firing missiles at these kids.
It's awesome.
They kind of
nothing lands.
Nothing lands.
Disappointing.
There's this moment when they're, you know, the dune buggies are side by side. The girl.
This is the most annoying part of the movie.
The girl is between the two things. She's kind of.
Patrick Stewart has her. They're trying to get the girl to get into their dune buggy.
K-Dog is driving now, and Vincent Carthizer is trying to grab his stepsister out of this rival dune buggy.
And they keep saying, like, we got you. Like, come on, just jump over. And just repeatedly they have this girl being like, no, no, no. And I was like, oh my fucking God. Like, one no is enough, and then drag this little girl out of the car.
I will say there was this big beam. I was like, holy shit, is this going to be fucking Hereditary or what?
Oh, man. Or Speed, dude. Taller little girl.
Yeah, just like, holy fuck. But the girl jumps off right in time. And then, like, this is a great line. Like, it's totally ADR Patrick Stewart from here on out, where he's just like, good, I didn't need that little girl anyway. Ha ha ha. Wait, where am I going?
Dude, it's something like,
I hate kids. Where the hell am I?
I still have all my rings.
Yeah, dude, but this is total ADR. They recorded this fucking 7 months later. Patrick Stewart didn't even remember making the movie.
So they wind up in, the kids wind up in like San Francisco or wherever the hell they are.
I don't know. They crawl out of a manhole like the Ninja Turtles.
They don't even really know where they are, which is funny since they live in this area.
Yeah.
Because, you mean, this was like presumably just a car ride underground that they went on, so right. It wouldn't be that
they
far
drove
from
down
the school
street.
You go to.
It's awfully long, though. It's like the French Connection. Like, it goes for a while. They're
which,
chasing.
Which movie's better?
This one, clearly.
Good it's the answer. The only time fucking Masterminds and the French Connection will ever be mentioned in the same breath.
It takes so long, though, and I'm just like, you're just kidding. This 40, and this is where you could get down to that 40. It's yes. 47 minutes, get down to 40, cut this shit.
I'll tell you one scene to cut. Oh, you got something.
Well, no, I was going to say, Kartheiser says, like, I don't know, downtown, because he gets a cab driver.
Oh, right.
He makes a phone call on his radio. I don't know how this works.
He's using half channels, dude.
I guess so. Did he invent 4chan?
Oh, yeah, this kid definitely.
That's a half channel. Yeah. That's the spaces between spaces. Steve, you were saying?
Oh, no, but at this point, something to cut is they cut back to the school and the police captain is arresting all these people and Foster wakes up from being knocked out and he's like, oh, man, I was totally not in on it. And then Brenda Frick is like, yes, you were. Oh,
calls
and by
him
the
a shithead too, I think.
She calls him shithead and then like Kartheiser's on the radio is like, hey, he had called the guy who's behind it all. I'm like, the guy, what do you mean the what guy
is
behind?
This is so outrageous.
Don't need to keep going out. Like, we have it all.
He's like, he called the guy who's behind it on his phone. Hit redial. And he hits redial. And it's the other guy from the business
Larry
deal.
Millard yep. is wrapped up in this. This is like a sub Sven Ole Thorsen looking yeah. motherfucker.
I thought it was Sven Ole Thorsen.
I did too. I did too. I was so excited. I checked my phone. I checked the goddamn IMDb, and I was so mad.
I was furious.
The second he spoke,
my dreams were shattered.
I was just flabbergasted. Like, no, it was Patrick Stewart the whole time. Yeah. End your movie.
Can we just do that? No, but instead we end the movie with Patrick Stewart in this ATV dune buggy machine, I don't know what, driving out of a pipe. He thinks he's on his way to freedom for some reason, and it turns out
I don't know why he's gunning it.
He's
out of
gunning
his pipe.
It's a fucking cliff, and he's he flies off of it, and he's like, I guess he has time to read the sign that's behind him, and he goes, oh no, raw sewage.
It's a sewage pipe.
Yeah.
And he falls in it.
He's like drinking fucking turds in the water. Yeah, there.
Drinking K-Dog's turds.
Tasteful touch, not having him come up with shit all over him.
Yeah, I think that was like, well, could you not? I'm about to play Macbeth next month. I would rather not be drenched in shit. Thank you.
No, you use it. You use it, Patrick.
And then, like, he hears the cops coming, and he's like, oh, gotta go. And, like, just goes underwater, and then Youth of America starts playing again, and Patrick Stewart's just getting away at the end of this movie.
Which is great. Sequel.
Yeah, the money starts to float down and shit. I think he's trying to get the money and shit. You know, it's like the end of Reservoir Dogs with Mr. Pink. You don't know if he got out
but
or not.
Dude, right. No, Steve, you remember, man, if you turn up your TV really loudly, you hear those. You hear the tire screech, it's gunshots.
Yeah. On the laser disc, if you turn up the 5.1 track all the way, you hear the siren hint in the background of implying that Mr. Pink does in fact get caught.
But it's only on that back left channel of the 5.1, so you really have to have the sit up. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In this isolated track, you'll hear Patrick Stewart gobbling shit.
That's a
if you hear it, he goes
that Mr. Pink act, that Mr. Pink thing was someone told us that in college, word for word.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
And then Youth of America just takes us into the credits.
Well, the credits, by the way, is a highlight reel. Like, everyone gets...
Not a blooper reel.
No.
Important to make that distinction because they show Patrick Stewart and he's like, it's right at a moment where he's hamming it up and I was like, oh, fuck, a blooper reel? Come on.
I was kind of excited for a blooper reel.
I really thought it was a blooper reel, but it's just segments of the movie. Him doing that tropical sun.
He's doing
Mambo.
The dance again. And I wanted it to be like he breaks. Like, oh, that was fucking dumb. You're not going to put that one in, are you? Nope.
And then, yeah, we get everyone gets their own highlight reel. It's amazing.
I think Foster got one.
I'm sure he did.
Fucking Foster. But it's just insane. Like, how do you not have...
Australian for unnecessary.
How do you not have any kind of, like, just one little scene tying everything back up? Like, you know what, Ozzy, you're welcome back on campus anytime.
Because there is, the last scene is Picard and shit, or... Patrick Stewart and shit, same difference. But no, the scene before that is Carthizer and the girl being like, I guess we are brother and sister. Like, and it's like barely audible.
Because
it's on that other track.
She repeats something that he stressed at the beginning, like, because he's like stepsister, like at the beginning of the movie. So he's like, yeah, you know, little girl, you are my sister, blah blah blah. And she's like, no, stepsister, right? And he's like, nope, the real thing.
And that's fine. That should be the end of the movie. Or, like, to your point, yes, it should be him with the parents. And it's like, you're not going to military school after all.
Well, son, you can keep on pirating whatever you like.
Yeah, exactly. Steal all the video games. And by the way, kids, you'll be proud of old dad. When that terrorist thing was wrapping up, I solved all of that business dealing stuff.
Oh, yay.
Because that's the other thing, too, right? Like, where the fuck, what's the dude's name? Larry Millard? Like, he doing time? Is that guy getting arrested? Was it even proven that
who cares?
You know what, you're gonna have to read the novels that come after the movie.
Oh, I see. They adapted it into just a book series.
There's a Masterminds Expanded Universe.
Oh, Masterminds, cool. The Millard Affair. kind of John le Carre type stuff. It's pretty good.
Masterminds Definitely. 3, The Shitting. It's all about how, you know, Patrick Stewart became made of shit. There's some radioactive material. He became kind of a shit monster. Right.
And then he fights Swamp Thing eventually.
Tinker Tailor Hacker Shit.
I'm just looking through this soundtrack. A lot of crazy bands on here, man.
So good, dude.
Cabin is right about Time that Seven Capsule. Dust. You spotted God that damn on my right. way.
Time Capsule.
But here was, I just like kind of had the credits rolling because I do like that Youth of America song, so I let it play out. Then it goes into some other garbage song that I didn't recognize. But did you catch, I don't know if you left it on, one of the lyrics, like the first lyric of this, whatever this song is, goes, I threw you down like a piece of shit.
No.
And I was like, so is the songwriter saying like you like push someone down or like you
it's
had
a song,
like a piece
a,
of
it's
shit
a song
in your
about
hand?
An ape.
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast.
Feces.
Yeah.
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast. Yeah, well done. Oh my God. Would anybody recommend this movie?
I would not. Yeah, it just didn't do it for me. I think it's fun in ways.
How
like
dare
it's
you.
It starts off kind of fun. It's a very saggy middle. The end is fun and also incomprehensible. Like it could and should be better than it is. Patrick Stewart's a little bit of fun in this movie. That's about it.
Too long. Fuck it. No.
Whoa. I'm going to say yes, because I do agree that it slags in the middle and towards the end, and it becomes incomprehensible. But the first 30...
But nevertheless...
Shut the fuck up, Chris. I let you speak.
He's right.
The first 30 to 40 minutes is a stone-cold blast.
Yes.
You got your fucking 90s garbage music. You got the fucking one-liners. You got the fake hacking. You got Patrick Stewart not only romancing someone, but then becoming a villain. So I'm going to say yes. Yes.
Nice. And actually, they could just take a bunch of what you said, and if this ever gets put on DVD,
yeah.
You're their man for pull quotes.
Actually, just put that on DVD rather than the movie itself. That was way more
entertaining. How about me and Patrick Stewart do a commentary track?
Oh, fuck. And he's just sitting there like, didn't remember that? That was something I did? Weird. Like,
why are you bringing this up?
I remember the mambo dancing, though.
Can I leave?
Nice belly, mister.
Is this Patrick Stewart in the bathroom for a long time? I wouldn't recommend this. I hated it. I'll never watch it again.
Wow.
I'm interested in this toy soldiers business, something else I haven't
I've seen that at some point, and I don't remember much.
It was a late night. We were
A little greening out.
I must have greened out on that one, Mr. Data.
Yeah, and honestly, I think a lot of it has to do with just my hatred for this little Vincent Carthizer character.
Sure.
I couldn't stomach it.
Yeah, it's like looking in the mirror.
I know. I couldn't even believe it. I was like, look, it's like I was in a movie in 1997. That's fucking terrible. That's Masterminds, directed by Battlefield Earth's Roger Christian. If you want more We Hate Movies, check out WHMPodcast.com or find us over on the HeadGum Network. Patreon.com/WeHateMovies. More content over there for you.
Speaking of Picard, we do a Star Trek show there, if you don't know. There might have been some clips on the feed. You could peep those. We recap an episode of the original series and The Next Generation in one episode together. That's why it's called The Nexus. And there's like 25 of them now as of this month. The 25th one is coming out very soon.
Wild shit, man. Yeah. Steve Sadak, what do we have on the docket for next week?
Predator coming, my friends. Aliens versus Predator Requiem.
Oh, yeah. Mm. This is a guilty pleasure. This guy right
Never
here,
saw
man.
It. Still haven't seen it.
Dude, because it's basically a slasher movie.
Ooh, yeah. I like that.
It thankfully moves us from fucking Antarctic temples to a suburban town, which is a little more lively of a setting for this kind of movie.
And what's awesome is it picks up right where that one left off, and the whole movie is predicated on the Predators having car trouble. It's oh, I like that. Fucking awesome.
You're flooding it. Stop, you're flooding it. Don't stop turning the triangle too hard.
Wait for me to unlock it. Wait for me to unlock it and then you pull.
Yeah, I know.
So until next week when the Predators call AAA, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum podcast.